Let's get after it. It's Tuesday morning right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. We're so glad you're along for the 17th day of May, 2022. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And you're waking up to much cooler temperatures today. You'll notice that as you step outside. And today is going to be a cool day, especially if we consider what we went through last week with a bit of a heat wave. Today's high, just 14 degrees later on. Expecting some showers around mainly this morning, and then overall pretty cloudy day again. 14 for the high. Tomorrow looks like the nicest day, maybe right through most of the holiday weekend, unfortunately. Tomorrow is going to be sunny. We'll get up to 20. And then forecast for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is for mostly cloudy skies with showers around all 4 days. Again, showers are showers. Showers is not rain. Rain means it's going to rain. Showers means it might rain. That's kind of the weather forecaster's way of covering their you-know-what. And then, of course, as always, I can guarantee you it will be sunny on Monday because my wife and I are going out of town for the long weekend. We are driving back on Monday, and whenever we go somewhere where there's a drive of significance, I can guarantee you the drive home will always be in the best weather because my wife will complain about it.
Oh.
All right, so Monday, yeah. Guaranteed sunshine, yeah. But the long weekend looks fairly cloudy. 10 degrees as you wake up this morning, as we say hello, good morning, and happy Tuesday to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Top shelf, boss man. Got to say, I ended up using, I use a weather app called Glass Half Full.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, and I have been tracking this now for a few years, and the accuracy of my Glass Half Full weather app, I got a little Wednesday nice, Thursday not great, but mm-hmm. I got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 26, 31, and 20, and it's almost all sunny. And so I'm just looking at that, and I'm just saying, hey, that's what I'm going with.
Don't blame the messenger. I'm going with Environment Canada right here.
I know, but I've really been kind of tracking.
Okay, hang on. Give me the highs on what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
26, 31, 20.
Okay, Environment
Canada. Those are also my measurements.
Okay, yes.
not sure what that means.
Environment, so yeah, okay. They have 25 Friday, which is the same as what you have. Okay. You have 31 Saturday?
Yeah.
This one has 21.
that's a big difference.
That's a 10 degree. So I want everybody who's listening right now to note on Saturday who's closer.
Okay.
Simmer's 31 or Environment Canada's 21.
No, I'm using the weather network.
And then, sorry, what do you got for Sunday's high?
Right now it ends up being a high of 20.
Okay, this one has 17.
Okay.
All right.
But it's got beautiful sunshine other than Thursday. Now, I know downstairs as well, I looked across and I was doing a little sports update and it was like cloudy across the board. Mm. But I'm pulling this up, and again, for Friday and Saturday, 40%. But that's where I kind of go glass half full.
I got 60%.
Wow.
So I don't, if it says 30, I don't even mention it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. 40, I might go scattered showers.
Oh, okay.
60, I go showers. Okay. 100 is rain.
Yeah. And I walked out yesterday, and it was one of those days we ended up going for lunch. And I said to Mira, listen, this is going to be a great summer. And you know why? Because on days where they call for completely cloudy, take a look around. There's sunshine. There's breaks. We've got a little bit more. It was like that on Sunday as well. Now, later in the afternoon, it went from about 22, went out for a little workout, then down to 13 as Maddie was heading in for football, JR. But, yeah, it's going to be a good summer, and I'm just feeling like, and I'm going to stick with that one. And now we got, because there isn't a lot on the plate, maybe we go a dueling weather apps.
I like it.
I'm not using my app.
I'm using Environment Canada.
Oh, I know.
I actually like my app more than Environment Canada.
Oh, okay.
But I do go with Environment Canada
for the official
purposes of the weather forecast.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So does your app have 31 for Saturday?
Let me have a look.
Or
let me have a look there, my friend.
Because I think I know what app that Simmer is using, because I think we use the same
one. It's the Weather Network app.
The Weather Network app, because I took a look, and mine's got 31.
I got 28.
Yeah, wow.
I got 26, what is 28, going on? And 19.
We got like a weather battle going on this
weekend. Is it possible based on carbon tax and fuel prices that they've cut back at the Weather Network and there's actually nobody working that?
Global warming.
That's hard to believe, though, that one thing could have it 10 degrees difference on a day. Because we were actually talking about that yesterday as well, because Maddie had football for the first time. I said, hey, the forecast long range or even day to day isn't easy. One thing we can do nowadays, I think we all agree, guys, is based on the radar, you can kind of plan around it, right? Like, you got a pretty good idea, JR, if you're heading out for a golf match as to what's coming in and, you know, when you're getting it and when it's leaving.
Does it stop me, though? It stops me if it's raining before I leave.
Does it stop me, though, when I've started my round and somebody says, "Whoa, looks like there's a big storm coming in"? Because I can tell you, when I was as far away from the clubhouse as a human could possibly be at the Kanata Golf Course, and that deluge came down, I did not turn.
Well,
I did not decide to cut the pin.
If you're a few holes up on the bet, for sure you. If you're down, if you're down, man, I think I just saw some lightning. Time to head to the.
You may have to play this entire thing over.
Oh, safety first.
Yes, exactly. I don't want to die on the golf course. For goodness sakes. Anyway, okay, well, we'll keep our eye on the forecast, but 10 degrees difference is quite significant.
That's a big...
It is.
Not to mention sunshine on one, and I got sunshine and lollipops, and you got rainouts.
Right? Yes. You guys watch any of the, not that we want to get too deeply into the weeds, watch any of the debate? There's no, not much sports going on other than a Jays game last night?
No, I'm not a Canadian politics guy, which sounds kind of sad when I live in this country. But no, what were the thoughts?
Hammer, before I move on, I'm not going to give you too many thoughts.
But, I was out and about as well last night.
Right. He PVR'd it. He's going to get home.
I can't
on
wait.
The new TV. How is if TV adds 15 pounds, what does Dougie look like on the big TV?
I know. I did when they do the kind of the there was a camera shot that showed all four of them.
Yeah.
And first of all, they have them in a bit of a semicircle.
Okay.
Facing the two people who are doing the questioning.
People said the venue was a little tight.
It very tight, and it just makes it awkward because they would bring up so a topic was put forward, and then what would happen is each of the four people would speak about it, I think, for a minute, and then they would say, okay, and there was four of them because it was Doug Ford, Andrea Horvath, DeLuca and Del Duca, and the Green Party leader whose name I can't remember right now. And they would, two of them would debate amongst themselves and then the other two. So it was a bit of a, and then they would start yelling over each other as they always did, that whole thing. Yeah. But whenever the two that were kind of beside each other, right beside each other, they'd have to kind of turn on. The whole thing was very awkward. So tight was a very, so.
That was Ford's turn.
They should just be in a question. They should, or a circle, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that part was very awkward looking.
Yeah, yeah.
I always think that when someone is, as they're being attacked, as all of them took a share of being attacked at times, you can't hold true that promise, it said, and then they smile awkwardly, I always think, oh, they're not doing very well right now. That's a very awkward-looking political smile.
It's when their lips are shaky.
Yes, yes. Those that
stay
can,
calm.
Yes, exactly. I did think, and again, I'm being apolitical here.
Yeah.
I just think in terms of stage presence, because all these, they get coached up as best they can, right?
Yeah,
this is... That the leader of the Green Party, I have to say, it's a really smart thing to do is to not look at the person you're debating with, but to look right into the camera. Because you're actually speaking to the voters, right? And this guy was well coached up, I thought. He was given a question, and it was boom, looking right in the camera. Well-spoken guy, and so anyway, I thought he did. He performed
and
well.
Historical references. Ed Broadbent always looked great when you know you're not going to win, JR.
Yes, exactly.
Like you,
no
and you have no track record because you've never been in office, so you say whatever you want.
Yes.
And as far as relevance, if you want to watch good debate, you have to watch the comedy with Will Ferrell when he's running for state senate. Hammer can probably have a little chuckle with.
Oh yeah, when he punches the baby by accident there with that was the movie he did with Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
what's it called?
Senator, it just something. He's a longtime senator and he's run into all kinds of scandal. And this other fella comes along. It's a good. I've become extremely Americanized when it comes to politics, JR.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that you have to present yourself well. And I don't want everyone to fill up our Twitter machine right now or our text machine. But that's where I said to Mir, Pierre Poilievre to me is very polished and very American. And I know that's not provincial. That's federal. But in the United States, I guess I've been conditioned over the years that that's what politicians are supposed to look like and kind of present.
I don't know that works in Canada.
That's true. That's
one man's opinion.
Yeah, that's true.
American-style politics and Canada?
No, I don't.
Don't really mix that well.
For sure, for sure.
So it's the campaign, if you want to get yourself prepped up. Campaign, Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell?
Zach Galifianakis featuring.
A good Will Ferrell, 45 minutes are really good.
Absolutely.
And man, if he just could have wrapped it up right there.
Well, but what's nice here is that Zach fella is absolutely hilarious. So he really kind of carries a lawn chair. That's the nice part is Will finally, at least in this particular movie, realize that, you know, like Anchorman, the whole skit of the rest of the crew was the same thing. This guy on his own, I found to be absolutely hilarious. He's in another movie where he's a Brinks bank robber, and he just is, he's real good. So it's a good little chuckle here as we head into political season.
Yeah, you've got about 30 minutes. They're wrestling and racing to go get the picture with the baby at this campaign rally, at this debate, and it ends up where Will Ferrell tries to punch Zach Galifianakis, and it is some good CGI because you see full fist right into the baby's cheek. And the baby goes down.
CGI?
Yes. Well, you know, just fake. It's fake. It's computer graphics.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right? CGI.
That's what
CGI.
I didn't.
Computer graphics something.
Okay.
Oh, I had not heard that term.
See, now you've learned something new.
Exactly. But you got to tip us off before the show so we don't look foolish.
Well, that's all these superhero movies are. They're all CGI.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're mentioning right now it's CGI, the kids have already moved on to something new, or sure. They've dropped it altogether. Yeah, yeah. They're not even. Oh, that's old man.
Oh
talk
my God,
right
my
there.
Dad mentioned. It,
That's just movie talk.
Oh, yeah. All right. There we go. Okay. Enough about the politics. We'll move on to, not a whole heck of a lot going on yesterday in terms of games, but there was a whole lot of especially off the ice stuff going on around the National Hockey League. So we'll get into that. And, of course, set you up for the round two playoff series, which will kick off tonight. Speaking of which, coming off round one predictions, Jamie Baker, our Sens analyst, will jump in later on this morning. We'll get his predictions for round two. The update after round one, was it Simmer and I both at 9 points each?
Yes, sir.
Baker was at 8.
Yes, sir.
And you were at 6.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, drafting the field.
Striking
right now.
Distance,
yes.
Baby.
And double the points available for round two.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to that. Our boots on the ground man, Mike Johnson, of course, is covering the World Hockey Championships for TSN. So Mike will certainly be able to give us an update, hopefully, later on this morning when he joins us from Helsinki on Tim Stützle. That is a big story for Senator fans watching right now. Injured yesterday for Germany, playing France. Did not look, I'll say this, it didn't look ideal. We'll put it that way as he left the ice on the limp. So Mike Johnson will join us after 8. We'll see if Mike has an update for us on the condition of Tim Stützle and his participation in this tournament and going forward from there. All right, so we got all of that for you and much more. We got a ton of stuff. We got some Ottawa Titan. Club seats for their first ever game coming up next Tuesday at the Ottawa Baseball Park. All right, is that what it's known as right now? Is it still RCGT Park?
Well, I don't think there's a sponsorship there at the moment.
Okay, all right. So the Ottawa Baseball Field,
Ottawa Baseball Park / Field / Diamond.
What do you call it when your team plays there?
We never play there. Oh. We're always at. We have a name. I don't know who he's named after. I should know. We're at Hamilton Park.
Okay. Well, that's one of the many Hamiltons involved with the Olympian Sports Club. That's who that would be.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, put a first name on it.
Gordy and Company.
Put a first name on it.
All right. 6:23. We'll get this thing under control and kick it off next right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back. 6:29 here on a Tuesday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. By the way, Colin texted in this morning, Simmer, and wonders if you have your weather app set for Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you know
with
what?
Your forecast high of 31 for Saturday.
Yeah, you got to start double checking, JR. Sometimes it gets a little bit of a glitch there. I have it set for all over the world, but I double check. That's okay. Downtown Ottawa.
All right.
I think you're getting airport weather, JR. I think that's one of the things there. Well, huge difference between here as you come up, but you have to understand that Riverside Drive is a rise. So some of the weather sits on the rise, and what comes through the valley could be completely different.
So what you're saying is the 31 is around all the hot air around Parliament Hill?
Oh, there
that's
you go.
That's the 10-degree difference?
Oh, exactly.
From the airport? Okay.
She's just blowing right off there. Yeah,
makes sense. And, Hammer, what did you say CGI stood for?
I said it stood for computer-generated imagery.
Yeah, that's not what you said. But that's what several people have corrected you on the text.
That's because they all Googled it, too. So don't think for a second that you texted that in knowing exactly what it was.
We want to thank everyone that texted and tweeted in the correction to Hammer trying to sound smart.
That's go what back on the tape.
Yeah. That's what Donald Trump will use in the next election. Anything you see of him will be CGI. I was not in Russia with those girls.
All right. Let's start with, tell you what, let's quickly start with this Mitch Marner story, which I saw late last night before I went to bed. And you heard Chris Holsky bring you up to date on the news. Not that there's a whole, it's still a reports say. It comes from the Toronto Sun, and Joe Warmington, who is who's got some pretty good sources within the Toronto Police Service. But Mitch Marner, according to this story from the Toronto Sun late last night, was carjacked last night in the parking lot of a movie theater in Etobicoke. Apparently happened about 7:30 at night, which is still daylight hours. Yeah, so this was not in the cover of darkness or anything. Apparently the three guys, all masked with guns, they did not apparently point them at Mitch Marner and the friend that he was with, but basically said, "We want your car," to which Mitch Marner said, "You can have it." Yeah. And they took off with it. It's a black Range Rover. Yeah. So that was a, that's gone from bad to, well, I don't say it's from bad to worse, but not a great two or three days for Mitch Marner.
No, and, you know, again, yesterday there was some footage there of the middle of the day in a couple of intersections in Toronto. People going around in the middle of the day, and, again, I guess you always think of this idea kind of Americanized, but, yeah, thankful for Mitch Marner, and smartly enough, just walk away. Scary thing, and lots of that going on right now, which I it's funny, I just don't even really think of that stuff. I always think, well, that can only happen in the United States. Well, not the case whatsoever.
Apparently, stuff like that is on the rise, is particularly in Toronto. I think in Ottawa, we've had, I don't want to say some fun. If you've had a car stolen, it's never fun, but, the idea that anybody that's driving a Toyota, what's the SUV again? I'm trying to remember.
Pathfinder?
The Pathfinder. Yeah. And I've told this story on the air, and it's been confirmed by the cops. Anytime they see a Pathfinder on the road in the dark heading toward Montreal, they immediately pull it over because they think it's stolen from somebody's driveway here in Ottawa.
And our good friend Steve Winfrow, who's a big Leafs fan, said early suspects are the referees from Saturday night.
Oh, there we go.
Went
see,
that whole,
how long would it take for the jokes to start?
No, I know, but at least that's a Leafs fan. It didn't come from me.
Okay.
And
comedy
again,
equals tragedy plus time.
Well, and thankfully, the only thing taken is the vehicle, and I guess there's nothing. And I gotta say, for Mitch Marner, I think he had a great season. I really appreciate, to be quite honest with you, the JR, the way he came back, and I thought he and Matthews performed pretty well in the playoffs. Didn't have a whole lot of help.
Now this would be one of these things where you would always wonder if you had a vehicle like that that's worth. I have no idea what it's worth, but I know it's worth a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
Where you'd always wonder. I mean, were these guys just sitting in the parking lot waiting for a nice car to come? Yeah. Or are these guys following me from my house?
Yeah, that's a great
Which
point.
Which is always, that's always the one that kind of raises the hair on your on your arms.
No, for sure.
A little bit
more,
right, when you think people are tagging my house.
Well, or who has access to motor vehicles, right, to track vehicles? What's the whole process? Now, you know, I would think you'd also realize nowadays in Toronto, maybe not quite to Moscow, where you go and every vehicle is a Porsche, but I don't think it'd be hard, JR, in Toronto these days to find high-end vehicles, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's metropolis and there's a lot of cash, so would not be very hard, especially, and I guess you'd just go by simple regions, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Etobicoke, North York, and those areas, there's some beautiful, beautiful vehicles.
Yep. All right, so it's garbage bag day, by the way, for the Maple Leafs, so... I'm not going to say that's going to be the number one story, but when Mitch Marner speaks, I'm sure he will be asked about it today. Yeah. So we'll get an update on that. But as you said, most importantly, he appears not physically injured, a little bit shaken from that incident, as I think anybody would be.
Great reaction by him, though, right? No, no time to be, hey,
that's why you have insurance, kids.
Yeah.
Go ahead, take it. I'll watch my insurance go up next time. Okay, 6:34. So, of concern to Ottawa Senator fans was this. Let's go back to the World Hockey Championship yesterday. Gord Miller, Mike Johnson on the call. This is not Canada versus Slovakia. This is Germany versus France. And, of course, Tim Stützle of the Sens suiting up for Team Germany.
Stützle gets bumped in the corner.
Stützle down.
He's hurt.
Oh, boy.
Limping noticeably.
His left leg. Pierre Dorion, who's in the building today.
Oh, and a slash by Stützle. On as he was going off. Stützle's going straight to the dressing room.
There you go. That was the call in live time from the incident yesterday in which Stützle was hit into the boards by a French defenseman, and he hits his knee from the side. And it's the left knee, the same left knee
That, of course, got taken out by Nick Suzuki late in the season versus Montreal. He was able to get off the ice on his own, although severely on the limp, left the ice. There was no update from Team Germany after the game. And as of this morning, the only word that we have been able to find online is that he is being reevaluated this time. So there's no update. Now, from a, I guess, a somewhat positive point of view, they mentioned in that clip right there that Pierre Dorion was at the game. Of course, DJ Smith and the head athletic therapist for the Sens, Dom Nicoletta, are both on the Team Canada staff, so they're in Helsinki as well. So just in terms of a degree of comfort from the organization about having their own people on the ground and to be able to see Tim Stützle themselves, that is an important aspect of this.
Yeah,
but, so we'll find out maybe today if there's an update on Stützle's
condition. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you see those side ones, JR. What I don't like and what I was a little surprised in the Suzuki hit, it's not necessarily the initial contact. It's a little wiggle of the leg, which we have seen historically has led to some serious problems. And that side hit was kind of the same thing. And again, obviously continued to play after Suzuki. But yeah, a couple of real awkward. You hope it's only a bruise, but we'll get an update here pretty quickly. But those little wiggles in the middle of the knee always scare me. And that's where that almost whiplash effect on Suzuki. I really expected that to be far more serious. So hopefully for a young man, and he can shake that off. And obviously the real important part is no need to be playing through for Germany and playing tough and playing hurt. Hey, whatever's going on here, hopefully just something short term, time to call it a day and head back to Germany and get healthy.
It is your worst nightmare if for an organization, right, when you send your players off to tournaments like this. And this is why, this goes back to why in this year, for example, Josh Norris, who is without a contract, said, even though he would have been invited by Team USA to go and play, said, no, I can't take the chance because of an injury. And as an organization, when your players go over to an event like this, which is hugely important, especially if you're European. I mean, the World Hockey Championships is a big deal. You want to go play for your country. Miro Heiskanen got eliminated in Game 7 from Dallas in Calgary. He's already on a plane back home to Finland to play for Finland at the Worlds. You know, it's a big deal for them. This is your worst nightmare as an organization, potentially, to have a player just heading into a summer, and it's a big summer. He's played 2 years, rehab, all that other stuff. You want that player to get in that full summer of training and everything and be ready to hit the ground running at training camp. And we don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
No,
nothing more than a bruise.
Yeah.
He could play again in the tournament.
Yeah.
But I've also seen, and I don't want to be an alarmist, I'll just put it out there, because I think some people think, well, he was able to get off the ice on his own. It can't be that bad. We have seen players actually play with a torn ACL, right? So, again, I'm not being an alarmist here. I don't have any inside information. I'm just saying, just because he was able to limp off the ice on his own does not mean it could potentially not be serious.
And Jerry, you have flashbacks of Hossa. What was that? Was he playing in Portland in the Western Hockey League when he blew out his knee? You know, hey, this is part of, and again, why I'm also not resistant to, hey, you got to play. You're as likely to be, more likely to be hurt in the NHL playoffs, American League playoffs. It's a continue of a season. It's a contact sport. Things are going to happen. What makes you wonder a bit, you know, looking to the Suzuki hit, and thank God, and then looking at that yesterday. So hopefully end up being okay. And as far as players going over there, been to many a tournament, and especially Sweden and Finland, and it could be Russia as well when they're in. But I can think about Matt Sundin being on planes to Lidstrom. And when you're hosting it in Finland, it is, like you said, a really big deal. And you're excited because the season has ended and you want to hop right over, and they get you over there as quickly as you possibly can. To be quite honest with you, not a bad way to just forget about what just happened in the case of not Dallas, but, you know, in the past for Toronto or Detroit, when a season ended with negativity, it was kind of a nice little thing to hop right into and just forget about it.
All right, so we'll keep our eye on that situation. We'll see if there's an update from the Sens. But again, with Dom Nicoletta being over there, along with the German doctors, et cetera, one would suspect they'd have a fairly quick update on the condition of Tim Stützle. And as soon as we find out, we'll let you know as well. He had two assists through the first two games for Germany, including, was there one or two he had against Canada in the opening game? I don't know, at least one that he was involved in. So, again, we'll keep you up to date on Tim Stützle. By the way, Canada played yesterday. Beat Slovakia 5-1. So as opposed to last year, remember last year they started the tournament 0-3, and then Andrew Mangiapane came over from Calgary And they put him on a line with Nick Paul and Connor Brown, and all of a sudden the team that couldn't score could do nothing but score, especially that line. And they rallied from 0-3 to actually win the World Hockey Championship on a golden goal from Nick Paul. This year it's the exact opposite. Great start for Canada. They're 3-0 after their win yesterday. Got a couple of days off now. They don't play again until Thursday versus Denmark. So, again, Mike Johnson, who is doing the color and is in Helsinki, will be joining us coming up after 8 o'clock. So we'll get the latest on Stützle and the latest on the Worlds and his thoughts on the upcoming round two as well when he joins us after 8. All right, 6:40, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get you set for round two, which kicks off tonight on a couple of fronts. And we'll talk about the off-ice news from yesterday. Coaching change in Vegas. Surprised or not that Pete DeBoer has been let go and a new coaching hire on the island. A person who's long been rumored to potentially getting a head coaching job finally has one. And it comes, well, in the place he was an assistant for the last few years under Barry Trotz. So we'll talk about the hiring of Lane Lambert by the New York Islanders as well. That and much more as we continue along here on this Tuesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, 6:45 here on a Tuesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Not a whole heck of a lot going on last night in terms of the world of professional sports. NHL playoffs had the first off night after 14 straight nights of hockey, and round two kicks off tonight. NBA playoffs after a couple of games seven Sunday will resume tonight with the conference championships, Boston and Miami. There was one baseball game of note. Blue Jays return home after a 2-7 road trip to beat Seattle 6-2.
First time the dome was open for the season.
I was going to say, because I always scroll down to the bottom to look at on the box score to see what the attendance is, just little stuff like that. And I noticed they put the, you know, like the wind at at first pitch, et cetera. And that I go, I don't think they always put wind, which led me to think that maybe the dome was open. I did not watch the game.
Oh, it looked amazing. I saw the pictures because I didn't see the start of it, but I saw the pictures of it and the sun shining. It makes you want to be there.
So what is it? Obviously, there's not a magic date because I thought at one point it was June 1. Then I thought maybe it was the May 2-4 weekend.
It's 20. I thought you said 20 degrees here.
It must just be heat.
I guess they weren't open last. They weren't home. Sorry, last week.
Oh, no,
and it was really hot.
Okay.
So yeah, it
I guess
be.
Just when you're seeing some steady weather, I don't understand when you've got all these other teams with all these open air stadiums, that even if it's 15 degrees Celsius, why can't you be open?
Mm-hmm. Great question. Yankees,
everywhere. How many domes do we have left in Major League Baseball? The Trop. Oh man, eyesore galore.
Yeah.
The J. Just open her up and enjoy. Would you
guys, like, I mean, Chicago, but when I turn on games kind of locally, because you can get some funny stuff on the Eastern Seaboard, but I always think of Cleveland, right? That's kind of my reference point. The weather in Cleveland is identical to the weather in Toronto, right?
And the Jays were there for some bad weather earlier this season, too.
Anyway, the Jays got the win thanks to Yusei Kikuchi, the former Seattle Mariner, had his best start of the season. 6 innings, no runs, 1 hit. So he was good. Home runs from Bo Bichette and Matt Chapman. Now, interesting, the Mariners in town. And, of course, for those that may not remember, Robbie Ray, who won the Cy Young Award for the Blue Jays last season, and then, of course, left and signed a huge free agent deal with the Mariners.
Tight pants.
Yes, tight-panted Robbie Ray was not with the team. Now, he pitched and got the win for Seattle on Sunday against the Mets. Did not accompany the Jays to Toronto. Now, of course, as a starter, he would not be expected to pitch in a 3-game series. But still, it's a return home for the Cy Young. And this is the only visit for Seattle all year. People are thinking, wow, that's kind of weird. And then not confirmed by anyone, but the uncertain vaccination status of Robbie Ray has potentially reared its head as the reason that he did not accompany the team to Toronto.
Not a bad thing then, I guess, JR, if you don't have to worry about Toronto the rest of the year then, right? Unless you meet in the playoffs, which is doubtful, right?
So, and the rules may change by then, but for now they're still in effect.
Didn't he have to be double vaxxed last year to cross the border and to play when they finally moved from Buffalo to Toronto?
Did he to cross the border? Yeah, that would seem to
there.
Make I think so. That would make
did
sense.
Did something else change in terms, or is there a little more to the story than we know? And Maybe a bit of a conspiracy.
And again, this is why I want to say on the record, this was not the team is not indicating the uncertain vaccination status. This is what people are forwarding. Now, you raise a very good point that he pitched for the team last year after they moved back to Toronto, so that would put that into question.
Absolutely.
But I don't know whether that that doesn't expire after a certain amount of time, after six months. Like, you don't need your third shot to be eligible. So, yeah, I'm not sure what the story
We're
is.
We're asking questions that need to be answered.
Exactly.
Here.
Do we care that much?
Trying to get Rick Westhead on the horn.
Yes, exactly. Him and his five-year, $115 million free agent deal.
I'll give you one stat from last night, and I made it at home to see Alejandro Kirk with his two-run single with a runner on second base, a scoring position. 3-for-9. With runners and scoring position, that is a plus. And if the Jays can keep that trend going, maybe they can turn the ship around and be headed and have a nice hot summer and some hot baseball heading to the playoffs.
10 hits on the night last night, which has been a rarity this season for them to get to double digits in hits. The offense has been struggling so far this year, which is a surprise, I think, to most people. You go through that lineup. Mm-hmm. 1 through 7 or 8, you go, okay, pretty much all those guys can hit. And they've all been everything from not good to average so far, I think it's fair to say, through the first, we're through six, seven weeks now of the season.
And just seeing a full lineup as well, because you had Teoscar Hernandez hurt for a while with his oblique injury. And now Springer is down and out, resting his ankle. So it'll be, if they can just get healthy. And Danny Jansen's back, and he's hitting bombs again, and he's behind the plate, so that's nice to see. But just get healthy and see this lineup at its full potential would be a lot of fun.
Do we have to take that into the excuse machine of professional sports guys now? What team in the NBA, in the MLB, in football and hockey is ever completely healthy? And I thought we heard that a lot this year with the Ottawa Senators. If you could ever get the full lineup, like, is that not part of what happens in professional sports? Is that you truly never have your full lineup?
You think about, I always think that of all the four sports, though, I do think that baseball, just because it has the least amount of contact of any of the four sports, I don't normally think of that injuries have as much of an impact.
Yeah.
Like there are as many injured players. But I know pitchers get hurt, throughout the year. But I think by and large, if I had to, and this is purely anecdotal, I think that there should be fewer injuries in baseball again because it's a no contact sport.
Yeah, it could be, Jared. The only thing I would say is, first of all, the volume of games, there's never a chance to rehab, really, right? And then when all of a sudden, and that's why we were always on, why are you sitting out? Well, I'm sitting out right now because I want to actually get healthy. So I would say I agree with you, probably, but the bumps and bruises are there, right? And all the little things from turf toe to, a couple of things there that you just never can get comfortable with. Not to mention, I just can't imagine there's a tougher thing to do than try to hit a baseball when you're injured. You can kind of suck it up in some other sports and other positions and kind of do your thing. That's a tough one to have the rhythm, to have the comfort level at the plate.
All right, speaking of injuries, turning our attention to the NHL. Round 2 kicks off tonight, and the first game, 7 o'clock, facing off the battle. If we have a battle of Alberta, are we calling this the Battle of Florida? Has anybody termed it that?
No, I don't know. Does it jive? Do people like it? Oh, I like it. I think
after last year, you're absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think it's the Battle of Florida. I don't know what else now. It's a little weird because you got the Florida Panthers, already called Florida. Then you got Tampa Bay. Mm. Yeah, I'd go. Yeah, I'm going
right.
Battle of Florida.
So the Battle of Florida kicks off tonight. And Braden Point, who we saw get injured in Game 7 versus the Leafs on Saturday, is said to be, quote, highly doubtful, end quote, by head coach John Cooper. And again, he gave it a go after he went down at the end of the first period, came out for the second, kind of limped around the ice and said, I'm not going to go. And his reaction on the bench. And I think he sat on the bench for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. So credit to him for supporting his teammates, et cetera, et cetera. His reaction after he tried to give it a go after the first shift in the second period kind of said it all to me, that this was not a short-term thing. Yeah. Again, there's a lot of subterfuge and a lot of mixed messaging from coaches this time of year. They always want to leave that little thought in the other team's mind of, Braden Point could be back. For all we know, he could have a torn quad or a torn groin or something. Yeah. But anyway, he is said to be highly doubtful to play in game one.
And I go back to it, and I should have looked it up, Jared, but didn't he not, 2 years ago, have double hip surgery?
Yes.
Well, to me, again, where he's grabbing his high quad and almost into the hip area. That, you know, again, you just say simple kind of speculation, but yeah, this is one of those ones. If we had to lay five bone down right now, I don't think we end up seeing him in the series. I do look at that and think, God, that looked awfully painful. And when you've gone through the rehab, and he hasn't even been the same player in the series before that. Not that it was this injury, but that dynamic, feisty, always in the play. And he still, hey, the guy works hard, but it has just kind of been a shell of himself, I thought, in the playoffs. I wonder if he's already dealing with something based on that injury.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah, potentially could have been. Of course, these two teams met in the playoffs last year. Tampa won that series in six games. Here's John Cooper, head coach of the Lightning, on how the Maple Leaf series has prepared the Lightning now to take on the Panthers.
There are similarities. There's no doubt. They're both high-octane offensive teams. But, you know, Florida doesn't have an Austin Matthews, and Toronto doesn't have a Alexander Barkov. So there are, you know, there's differences in their games, but they've mentality's the same. They've got skilled players. They can execute. I mean, they've scored the most goals in the league. They've got multiple comebacks. They're a score-first mentality, and they're good at it. And so if you aren't prepared to do some of the things to slow them down, it's going to be a tough series, and that's some of the things we had to do against the Leafs.
Yeah, they may not have an Austin Matthews, but I tell you what they do have. They've got a Carter Verhaeghe. Yeah. That's what they've got. How about him? 12 points in Florida's six-game first-round win over Washington. He outpaced the next highest scorer, who was Claude Giroux, at seven. The aforementioned Alexander Barkov had 6 points. Yeah. Verhaeghe had a really nice year. I don't think anybody expected he would be among the NHL playoff points leaders after round one.
Yeah, you know, and again, interesting, and I'll throw this out there for you, JR. Who would you take, Matthews, Marner, or Huberdeau and Barkov?
What, to win a playoff series?
No, just, or just to, whatever.
For the rest of their careers?
Well, of course, win a playoff series. Try to win a Stanley Cup. Who are you going with?
I would take Matthews and Marner.
You would, eh?
And I love Barkov.
Okay.
I'm not as big a Jonathan Huberdeau guy. You know, he puts up nice numbers. He had three points in the first round, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know whether Jonathan – I want to see him prove it in the playoffs, I guess, would be my point on that.
Yeah.
Now, you could make the same argument about Mitch Marner until this year. I thought Mitch Marner, though, had a really good round one.
Yeah.
And I think Austin Matthews was the best player in hockey this past, in my opinion, in hockey this year.
Yeah.
You could make the argument Connor McDavid is the best player in hockey overall, period.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's a good argument. Guessing that you disagree with me.
No, not at all, Jared. No, I just was thinking as he said that. It's just interesting, you know, and I look at matchups, and one of the things that Washington has is Kuznetsov down the middle who can go against Barkov. What the Tampa Bay Lightning do not have is that. They don't have that size. I think things will be easier for Barkov and Huberdeau. Now, you can argue with Matthews and, you know, Cirelli. Can he shut down Barkov? To me, Barkov down low uses his size better than Austin Matthews. Like, that is, but, you know, it's just fun things to watch going into it, JR. And I also think a real big factor, Peter Laviolette is a real good coach, but he's not a great tactician. But another thing that's interesting to watch is that, you know, John Cooper right now is one of the best in the business. You've got Andrew Brunette, who, when we look at coaches and you squeak through a playoff series, they don't have Joel Quenneville anymore. I mean, to me, for Florida, that's a big deal that Andrew Brunette, and I know Bruno, he's a good fella, but that's a tall task now to kind of go head-to-head. And I just know his personality as well. I'm not sure that he's really suited for this long-term. I think he grabbed a hold of the car while it was in the fast lane, and he brought it at least to the finish line to get to the playoffs. But I don't know that – I would not be shocked, I guess is my point, is that I wouldn't be shocked if Florida makes a coaching change at the end of the year regardless. And that's not a slight on Bruno. I just don't know if he's ready for that.
Well, I think if they win the cup, I think
he's
coming back.
Yeah, that's true.
I think if they don't make it out of this round, then potentially, it's funny you bring up his name, and I didn't watch all of Florida Washington, but caught some of the games, and every time they would they went to a shot of him behind the bench, and again, I don't know the fella at all.
He looks worried.
He's got his hands in his pockets with his suit jacket in behind his hands. He's kind of got that casual guy walking down the sidewalk look to him. Never looks flustered.
So
I didn't know the worried part didn't no oh, it just okay. It was he was. But I wouldn't call him calm at all. It was like, I don't know. You know, the Is it from the Ottawa train station? The old guy kind of looking around amongst the chaos.
He looks like the guy from Cheers, right?
He's kind of a little bit like that behind the bench.
Well, and again, I know him as a 20-year-old kid. He's actually a very shy person, and so when I see him on the bench, I see a guy that's just kind of finding his way. And yeah, it's just interesting to kind of watch and see as he feels it out. And I mentioned on the air last week, JR, I think there's a good chance that Joel Quenneville ends up back there next year.
Really?
You know, yeah, wow. I've talked to people, and you know, the timeout, at least that's what I kind of think, that he was sitting on the sideline, that I do think he'll be reinstated this year, and the owner there just absolutely loves him.
One other Florida note, Anthony Duclair was actually a healthy scratch for the Panthers in the playoffs. I'm not sure if people were aware of that such a good regular season, statistically at least, and a lot of people saying, you know, of him, you know, kind of coming of age in his time down in Florida. Interesting to see him getting scratched in the final game against Washington, and that was healthy scratch. Yeah. That's not injured scratch.
No, those are the things, Jerry. It's one game, and this has happened to players, but it's an incredible red flag. And what does it do in a hockey person's mind, or a hockey fan, or a scout? The minute you say that, you say, oh, gosh, remember in Ottawa where he had a great time till the All-Star game, and then down the stretch he faded? You know, when you see stuff like that and you see a guy as a healthy scratch, you start to wonder and you start to creep back to a guy that played on 6, 7, 8 teams. You know what I mean? It's an interesting thing that, you know, everyone's focused on. And I, like myself, wow, what a great year. He's been great in Florida.
Mm.
And then at a crucial time in a clinching game, the fact that you're made a healthy scratch, that's a huge red flag.
From a watchability, what are you interested in watching of the four playoff series? Rank them 1 through 4 for me. So you got the Battle of Florida, you got the Battle of Alberta, you got the Rangers, Carolina, you got St. Louis, Colorado. What is most watch for you?
Yeah.
Put aside that.
Well,
what are you most interested in watching 1 through 4?
But, Jerry, kind of ruined my segue. The real key to watchability is the ability to watch.
Right.
And when it's late at night and I have to be tucked into my bed.
You got a 3-day weekend coming up here.
The ability. I'll go Calgary, Edmonton, you know, just from a Canadian perspective. You?
Okay, that's one. Go do the rest. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. Oh, and then Florida. And then St. Louis Avalanche, and then Rangers Carolina. Now I'll say this though: there's no dud. You know, there's other years where I'll look and say, oh well, whatever. I don't care. That's the one thing I'll say, man. I'm excited about all four of these series as they start out.
I could easily flip the Battle of Florida with the Battle of Alberta, only because it's a little bit new, and just how ferocious the series was last year. I really like the physicality of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty much in agreement with Simmer on that one, too. I've got the Avalanche and Blues ahead of the Rangers and Canes. But I think it's going to, just like the first round, it's going to be a fantastic second round.
I could put St. Louis, Colorado, I think, ahead of the Florida-Tampa series for me.
Yeah,
there's no doubt, as a Canadian, I think watching the Battle of Alberta get renewed again is top of the list for me. Rangers Carolina is bottom of the list for me, and that's probably just the Carolina factor, even though they're a really good team.
They were ruined from day one.
No, but they're actually a fun team.
They are, and the fans are crazy. They're like the New Jersey Devils, though. Your mindset will never change.
And Minnesota Wild, right? So they will always be Jacques Lemaire's Minnesota Wild in your mind, and the Carolina Hurricanes are the same way. So they're last. But I am really looking forward to St. Louis, Colorado. I think St. Louis is really going to be able to give Colorado a good tilt. And I looked, can I tip my hand on my prediction?
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm interested to see how Colorado, they swept them last year. But I think St. Louis has upped their game a little bit. Colorado has as well. But I think I'm going to move that one into number 2 ahead of Florida, Tampa.
Nice.
Just to be the contrarian.
Yeah.
All right. Give us your thoughts on it. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll get to your thoughts coming up after 7 o'clock. But right now, top of the hour news and sports update. When we return, we'll get back into more of the news from outside the NHL, including a coaching change in Vegas. Are the Golden Knights now in the Barry Trotz hunt, along with potentially Winnipeg and potentially Toronto? We'll get through all that. Latest on Tim Stützle's injury at the World Hockey Championships. That and much more as we roll on here for a Tuesday morning. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.